Kevin and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
I got to admit, it was kind of nice not to have to be burdened by watching Chicago Bears football yesterday. I'm sorry. It's a burden. I love the Bears, but it's a burden right now. They put you to sleep most times. They're as bad as offensively as any team in football, and they have been for a year and a half. It's a burden. I don't get excited. Yerk.
Who does? Yeah.
I mean, I
got to watch, Carm.
Well, we have to watch for work, and I would watch regardless because I do enjoy football, and I love the Bears, and I want to see them do well, but there's no excitement. You know, you get excited to watch a game like last night when you flip on Kansas City and the Raiders. There's no excitement. But the Bears find themselves still second in the division. Everybody lost yesterday. They roll into this Sunday night game against Green Bay with, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be, but we'll find out as the week goes on. My suspicion is it's still Nick Foles, but who knows? And we'll continue to discuss all week long. If you've got a thought on it, you're more than welcome to chime in. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. Yeah, Mark?
Are you guys both over the Mahomes thing, or is it still hurt?
No, I don't think. I'm sorry. I don't think you'll ever get over it. I really don't.
Last night, he was so mad. He was magical. It was a weird game plan. He wasn't throwing the ball downfield, but every pass was, like, right on the money.
Their offense is what I thought the Bears' offense would look like. I'm sorry. I don't know how you can say get over it. I just don't think it's that easy. I don't know.
You're forced to acknowledge it every time it comes up.
Every time.
Every time it comes up, you just said, yep, that's true. Can't deny it. Thanks for reminding me. Appreciate it. Don't appreciate it. That kind of thing.
Merk, when you say, like, are you over the Bears, you know, passing them up, like, I guess what I'll never get over is just the possibility that he could have been theirs, you know, and in a sense, ours. I get that it would have been a huge leap of faith, that none of the draft pundits had him going that high, that nobody loved him as much as Kansas City, you know, blah, blah, yada, 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 on and on and on. Well, I understand all that, and that it would have come out of nowhere on that night had the Bears moved up to 2 to draft him or stayed at 3, which is they probably would have done to draft him. Like, it would have come out of nowhere.
If the Bears had any inkling, they would have drafted down.
Yeah.
If they thought anything about Mahomes at that point, it would have been a draft, but down.
But they didn't. We know. I think what's hard is that the way Pace fell in love with Trubisky. When you say, Merk, like, are you over it? I mean, I'll always think in my head, like, wow, I can't believe my team drafted a quarterback before he went off the board. But I think what's more frustrating is the way Ryan Pace fell in love with Mitch Trubisky. Like, that's what sucks. That's the mistake. That's what hurts. Because if anything else, like Yurk said, I mean, then if you don't like any of the quarterbacks, you're moving out, and who knows what they could have done with that third overall pick, and if they could have found a way to turn that into more successful picks for their O-line or offensive playmakers, or I don't know. I mean, it's what falling in love with Trubisky has done to this franchise is devastating. It's what makes you trade a fourth-round pick to go get Nick freaking Foles and think that that's going to save your season. You know, I mean, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's trading two future first-round picks for Khalil Mack because you think that's the last piece to make your defense great. And he does make their defense pretty damn great, and he certainly did in 18, don't get me wrong. But, like, everything was predicated on Trubisky has to hit, and Pace was convinced that he would, and he stinks. And so that's, I think, like, the hard part to get over. I don't know. We'll continue to discuss that all day today and tomorrow and Wednesday leading up to Bears
probably
Packers
for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah, that's true. 312-332-3776. I mean, it is going to go down as an all-time, let's face it. I mean, what – any way you try to rationalize it, it's going to go down as one of the all-time great misses in NFL history. I mean, it might already be number one. I mean, what could possibly be worse than this? So feel free to jump in. I know Merck has. Merck, are you over? Speaking of things, are you over the Wisconsin loss?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a weird year, and
it is a weird year. It's a COVID year.
Yeah, it's a COVID year, and listen, Northwestern's defense is great.
They're really good. Man.
Really good. I mean, their linebackers are everywhere, and their corners were great. I wasn't expecting much going into the game because I know Wisconsin, it's like the Bermuda Triangle, as my friend Mark Finch said to me, that Wisconsin, when they go there, they lose all
it's
sense.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
They really struggle in Evanston.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize that Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis weren't playing. And then Ferguson, who is Barry Alvarez's grandson,
right,
is a stud tight end, hurt himself to start of the second half. And I was like, well, Graham Mertz is playing with wide receivers who've never run routes before.
Yeah, they got nobody helping.
So, he was terrible. He wasn't great, Graham Mertz. So, I'm over it. But the things that drives me nuts is, and I love Fitz. Let me preface by saying I love Fitz.
Well, we all love Fitz.
Love Fitz. But, boy, Northwestern fans are really tough to stomach after they start getting good. I mean, you know, it's like puffing your chest out like you're going to the national championship. I mean, you barely beat Nebraska at home. You know, I mean, who's probably the second worst team in college football?
Stinks.
They're terrible.
Terrible.
Awful. And, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Cap sending me tweets, you know, hey, Northwestern, kick your butt.
Take that.
You know, Teddy Greenstein's posting the easiest win of all time. He is over on the Northwestern wins. And I'm like, slow down, everybody. I mean, you know.
Well, he's just boasting about his overtime.
I know.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Okay, that's fine. Fine. But, like, just all the love now that Fitz is going to be, you know, a great fit for the Bears, you know.
And that's the thing that's crazy. I mean, it needs to stop. I mean, I saw Colin Cowherd tweeted over the weekend, Yerk, an NFL team needs to make Pat Fitzgerald an offer he can't refuse. Yeah. No, that's not necessarily true. I don't think Fitz ever wants to leave Northwestern. I don't know why he would. I mean, I suppose the competitor in him thinks sometimes about the NFL, but don't you get the sense that Fitz knows how good he has it at Northwestern, where let's face it, Yerk, the expectations are they're sort of balanced, I guess you'd say, in a sense, right? Like, they're never going to ask too much. He's made them relevant. He's made them competitive. They go to bowl games frequently. They win bowl games, something they hadn't done in like 60 years until Fitz got them there and they won a couple of years ago. Like, he's a golden child at Northwestern. Why would you leave?
Exactly. He is a golden child out there. They absolutely love him out there. He can do no wrong. They were 3-9 last year.
That's right. They were 3-9. They were terrible last year.
Just whatever. Just go ahead. Everybody want to jump on the bandwagon. I don't react to things that are happening right now. I step back. I take everything with a grain of salt. I'm a skeptic. I'm a pessimist. I'm a guy that, you know, would rather say, okay, well, what's wrong with the picture? Not, oh, everything's so beautiful and everything's so rosy and everything's, oh, la, 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 la. No. Step back and say, hold on, let's see what was it? Oh, 3-9 last year. Oh, okay.
Like, was anybody tweeting last year, Yerk, an NFL team needs to make Pat Fitzgerald an offer he can't refuse? No, because he was 3-9. You're right.
Right. That's the same silliness as you would hear if you wanted to have Jim Harbaugh as your coach.
Well, that silliness is still
right.
Sometimes.
That silliness. Yeah. You fail up. There's no failing up. It doesn't exist in the world. Okay? At least it shouldn't exist in the world. I have a feeling it does. But failing up is not what you want to have happen by any stretch of the imagination. So any talk of college coaches coming in here and taking over, if the names aren't Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney.
I don't even know if I'd want that.
Okay, but the point is, that's the direction I'm going.
Yeah, right.
That's what I want.
Right.
Okay? I don't want it the other way. Please, thank you. No, 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 no. And listen, congratulations go out to the Wildcats. In a weird year, in a crazy year, they found a way to go ahead and win games, not by a ton, not by a million, but they found a way to win games. Now, we were yelling at the Chicago Bears about being the worst 5-1 football team in there. How would you rank the 5-0 start for the Northwestern Wildcats? Where would you put that? Category of a lot of tight games beating mediocre competition? How would you put that
then? Kind of, yes.
Okay, find a title. We found a title for the Bears. It was easy. The worst 5-1 football team in the history of America. Okay, find a title for this Northwestern football program. 5-0 team, but what are they really?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the worst 5-0, but I see what you're getting at, Yerk. I think the win at Iowa is a really good one. Like Merkin said, I mean, beating Nebraska at this point, I don't know what's happened there. I thought it was a slam dunk when they hired Scott Frost. I mean,
Shout out to Illinois. Did you see what they tweeted out after the game?
What'd they tweet? No.
After they destroyed, went into Lincoln just embarrassed them.
They destroyed them.
They tweeted something to the effect of, hey, at Nebraska football, thanks for bringing back big football, Big Ten football, because you know Nebraska was one of the teams that wanted the Big Ten to play for sure this year.
Right, that's funny.
And
that's
then
good.
They took it down, which I don't know why. Like, I mean, Scott Frost and Nebraska have been puffing their chests out. You know,
oh
like,
God, he was the biggest loudmouth out of all of them. But I mean, I don't get it.
Hold on now. Aren't we glad they have football back?
No, we are. But I just,
is that what he wanted? He wanted to have football back, and now we're going to criticize him for having football back.
But I guess it's the way he did it. I don't know, York, but I mean, and you're right. It doesn't really matter. What matters is how bad that program is. He hasn't done a damn thing to help that program, and this is year three. This is a guy that you could criticize the competition at the time all you want when he was at UCF. They went 13-0. They beat, and on a New Year's Day, in a New Year's Day bowl game 3 years ago, York, 4 years ago, he's beating a top five ranked Auburn team.
Right.
I mean, it was legit. You know, and I'm thinking, what, this is a slam dunk now for Nebraska. You bring Scott Frost back home. They've gone 4-8, 5-7. Now they're 1-3, and they're terrible. So you're right, York. Like, I think the win at Purdue is good. I think the win at Iowa is good. I do think there are a couple of good wins on their schedule.
The win at Iowa was awesome.
It's a lot better than the Bears 5-1 start. I can tell you that.
My point is, I'm trying to find a title for it. So would put on it is 5-0 and on the come.
All right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Where their best football might still be in front of them. They may have struggled early. They may have survived and won some games barely by a handful of points. But what if you said 5-0 and on the come?
Okay, that's probably fair.
Isn't that
fair.
A good way to kind of describe what's happening and what's going on?
I think it's fair. Okay. They're 5-0.
I mean, it's positive.
It is.
Right.
They beat Wisconsin. They had a little extra motivation. And look, the teams, pro, college, athletes, competitors, anybody, all of us, I mean, you find ways to motivate yourself sometimes. Yurko tells the story about being on that 97 Jacksonville Jaguars team that went to Denver. They were huge. They were two touchdown underdogs in that was the divisional round, right, Yurko? Round of the playoffs.
Yes.
They go to Denver. They're a huge underdog. And Yurko and the Jacksonville Jaguars drive by the stadium, and there's NBC setting up the scaffolding for next week for the AFC title game. The AFC title, right. And Yurko and the Jags said, well, wait a minute. What the hell? We're playing a game. And so people get motivated in different ways.
Right.
I want you to listen.
And Woody Page.
And Woody Page.
Woody Page that wrote something too.
That's right. Woody Page, who wrote in Denver for a long time, wrote something about how the Elway and the Broncos were going to have a cakewalk. So I want you to listen to Joey Galloway. If people didn't hear it, this was about a week ago. I think this is probably last Tuesday, previewing the game, talking college football, going into last weekend. This is Joey Galloway with Reese Davis. I want you to listen, and then we will continue to explain.
Just looking at it from a standpoint of if Northwestern were to be able to beat Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's had all the disruptions to the schedule, how would that impact the way you looked at Northwestern as it pertains to a shot at a playoff spot?
I've been watching Northwestern play, and honestly, I mean, they got a bunch of Reese Davises out there running around. It's
high
not the prettiest thing in the world,
high.
And it's not – very athletic, Reese.
Bunch of Reese Davises running around. Reese quickly chimes in, high-level athletes. We all get the joke. How do they do it? Joey Galloway, I don't know that he means – I don't think that that's completely mean-spirited. I think it's sort of a common knock against maybe programs like Northwestern sometimes. I think Joey Galloway knows that, yes, they're pretty good athletes, but he's trying to make a point. He's being a little hyperbolic, and he says, they got a bunch of Reese Davises, meaning they don't have the quality of athlete that an Alabama or maybe even a Wisconsin has. This is Coach Fitz after the game on the field after Northwestern got the win against Wisconsin.
You want to know what college football is all about? How about these fighting Reese Davises right here? Huh, Joey Galloway? How about the fighting Reese Davises?
This seems like it's an emotional win for you. What will this do for what you guys want to accomplish in the Big Ten West?
Well, we're 1-0 this week, and it's great. And we got a huge road test next week with, again, a team that's got a week off before they play us. So as long as Joey Galloway keeps talking, we'll, I think, appreciate it. I think the guys heard him pretty loud and clear.
So you hear the players, Yurik, shout out to Reese Davis.
Yeah.
Obviously, they made that a focal point of their preparation throughout the course of the week.
Hey, anything to motivate, kid.
That's right.
Anything to get guys concentrating on one thing. That's what you do. You find a way to put a chip on the shoulder. They don't respect us. Nobody respects us. Let's go out there. It's utilized all the time by coaches. It has been forever. Why? Because it works, Carm. Find something to not like. And to be able to focus on and use that to motivate yourself to play. Period. That's it.
Yurko, when we come back next, I'm going to tell you about something that motivated me to flip my lid this weekend and do something completely
right
overreactionary.
The cannolis weren't fresh. I get it, Carl.
I will tell you a slightly embarrassing story coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my
name. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Carmen and Yurko, we'll get out to the phones here in just a little bit. People want to talk Bears and some other fun stuff with us. 312-332-3776. All right, I'll tell you the story real quick, Yurko. I'll admit, I'm gonna preface it, okay, by saying, yeah, you're going to hear it, probably going to laugh. I overreacted. It's Friday night. It's about 9 o'clock, okay? And I'm sitting on my couch. I got the TV on. And from where I'm sitting, my wife's sitting on the couch as well. Kids are down in the basement getting ready for bed. I think they were watching a movie or something. About 9 o'clock. And I look down my hallway from my couch.
Right.
And I can see down straight down the hallway to the front door. And the front door's got, you know, there's some there's decorative glass. You really can't see through the door, but you could see if someone were on the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Obviously. And so I'm sitting there, and I catch from my peripheral vision a figure in the doorway. And it quickly runs away and or you know, sort of like comes up to the door and then backs away. And I thought, well, you know, my in-laws live close. A lot of times my mother-in-law will just randomly like drop stuff off. And then I don't know why she doesn't ring the bell, but she'll text me or my wife. Oh, I left
she'll
this.
She'll dart off.
Right, yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, I was probably Karen's mom. And then about 10, 15 seconds go by, and all of a sudden it catches my eye again. I look, and I'm thinking, all right, what is this now? And now I'm kind of just staring at the door. Then I see this figure approach again and walk away. So now I'm a little bit agitated, wondering what's going on exactly. I walk.
You're somewhat wary. You're somewhat wary.
Somewhat vigilant, somewhat wary, yeah.
Did you go for your Glock? Did you go for your 9mm?
I don't have a Glock. I did not go for everything. I don't even have shoes or socks on at this point. I'm in shorts and a T-shirt.
Right.
And I open my front door, and from behind one of these little box hedges, someone jumps out in front of me, mask on, mind you, like COVID mask, you know, not like a Halloween mask, COVID mask, but, you know, mask on his face, jumps out, throws his arms up and screams in my face. Now, when I tell you I hit the ceiling, Yurko, I thought my heart was going to explode in my chest. And for a split second, you're not quite sure, right? Like, I'm thinking, am I going to have to make sure somebody doesn't come barreling into my house right now? You know, like, for a second, you're a little scared, right? Mm-hmm. Well, about 2 seconds go by, and I realize it's a bunch of teenagers, because all of a sudden I see like five of them kind of start peeling away, you know, like from between my house and my neighbor's house, right? So the guy who startled me, he's a kid, he's a teenager, he scared the living bejesus out of
me. One of the neighborhood boys.
He starts running, and then I see all of his little friends, and they're all laughing, and, you know, so now I went from being extremely scared for a second to being just pissed off, as you can imagine.
Right.
And I said, let's see how funny it is when I catch one of you little, and I dropped an expletive, you know?
Sure,
to
an
which,
MF-er.
That's exactly the expletive
let me
I dropped.
Catch you little blankety blanks.
To which one of them turned around as they're all running away through my yard, into the street, good luck. And that's all I needed. I was off to the races.
Like a bandit. They like didn't know you think they were messing with a triathlete. They didn't know that, did they?
So at the Yurko, like a bat out of hell, I took off through the yard, and now they realize that I'm chasing them, and panic ensues. And they all split up in different directions, and for whatever reason, I locked on to one, and I said, that's the one I'm going to get. And about three houses down, that's the one I got. And so I bring him back to the house.
Did you pummel him? Did you sock him in the jaw a couple, five times?
No, the poor kid is scared out of his mind.
Did you kick him into jewels?
It wasn't him. It was his friends. Yada,
is he crying?
Yada. Oh, he's crying.
Really?
Bring him back to the house. I get my wife. And now my wife comes to the door. She goes, what is going on? And I said, get your phone. I said, tell my wife your mom's cell phone number. I'm calling your mom right now. Karen's like, what? And my wife has no idea. She's thinking, like, did my car's on the driveway? Did they vandalize the car? Did somebody, like, were they throwing something at the house? Like, oh, my God, what happened? So my wife calls this poor kid's mother. And my wife has no idea what happened. And she and Karen goes, Carmen, what happened? I said, yeah, they're up here messing around by the door. And I went and got one of them. And Karen goes, oh, my God, are you kidding me? She goes, "They're ding dong ditching, and you flipped out." And I said, "Well, yeah."
You went haywire because they challenged you, Carm.
That's what I said. I.
Good luck, old man. And there you were, like a bandit.
She literally handed the phone to me. She goes, "You talk to this woman." She goes, "I am so embarrassed right now." And at that point, now I'm kind of embarrassed too. I'm talking to this poor kid's mom. The poor kid was so apologetic. I said, "You get on your bike." He said,
"What high school
were
they from?"
I don't even know. I didn't even ask.
See, you should have found out. You should have called the principal over there and said, you got a bunch of little peckerheads.
And you're all right, Yurko. Watch the language. And see, Yurko's like, so like the story spreads throughout, you know, some of the neighborhood, you know, families throughout the weekend. And all the guys have the same reaction. They're like, "Yeah, I teach that punk a lesson. You better believe it." And all the moms are like, "You dork. I mean, you're chasing down teenagers for ringing your doorbell."
It's not what they did, Carm. It's they were smart mouthed.
That's what I said.
They were back-sassing you.
Exactly.
So they deserve to get caught.
So we all get motivated by certain things. And the minute I was challenged, I said, "I'm catching one of these little MFers," and that's it.
Carm, you definitely are way overreacted.
Wait a minute, though. You didn't pummel the kid a little bit?
No, I didn't.
You didn't slap him around a little bit?
Of course not. All I wanted to do was scare him at that point.
This is what did you put him on a table and put his head in a vice?
No, I did not.
You sure?
I skipped that step. Yeah.
Who are your friends? I want to know.
All four of them. We sent him on his bike on his way home. I really did feel pretty bad. When I finally calmed down, my wife's like, she goes, "I can't believe you." And I said, "Well, I said, the kid, they scared the crap out of me."
You know what the important lesson to learn is?
The important lesson is not to mess with people's homes.
Right. If you're a young kid out there and you challenge somebody, be careful.
You know what?
Make fun of them on your way out. You got away, Carm. You weren't going to chase the kid, right?
Listen, if the kids were just ding dong dishing, they were out. If the kid didn't jump out and scare the crap out of me, it might have been different.
If they didn't mouth off, Carm.
Yes.
They disrespected their elder and they mouthed off.
That's right.
And because they mouthed off, my current day Zola Bud, the barefooted Carmen DeFalco, running the streets of LeBron.
Like Usain Bolt.
Or wherever you're from.
Usain Bolt running through the streets, Western Springs.
Western Springs.
Merck and I had a show.
There's a barefooted Italian running through the streets.
Merck,
love it.
Merck, I think I overreacted, Merck.
I do a little bit, yeah.
I do too. Listen, I would have liked to see how you reacted.
Oh,
the kid jumps out and scares you in your doorway like that.
It happened to us back like in May.
One of
Brett's friends went around to all of his different friends, and what they did is the kid rang the doorbell. And then when I opened the door, there was a box of ding-dongs there.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Edible.
But he didn't jump out and scare you, did he?
No, but what he did it once, and then he did it again. So the third time, I said, "You know what? I'm going to wait for him."
So I saw him pull
up with his dad, and he came to the door, and I just screamed as loud as I could, and the kid sprinted back to his car, and that was the end of it.
You gave him a taste of his own medicine,
yes.
Mark.
Yes. But I think chasing him down is kind of – I mean, that's like, wow. I mean, that –
Oh, dude!
Carm's in shape, though.
When they taunted,
Carm's in great shape.
When they taunted Merck, that was it. I was like, "That signal." Like, what does Yurko say? Singleness of purpose.
I was like,
"Oh yeah, you don't think I can catch one of you?" And the best was just sort of watching them panic. They're like, "Oh my God, he's coming!" And they scattered. I mean, in every different direction, hell or high water. Leave your friends behind. Forget about it.
Carm, any thoughts about ball betting the kid in the garage?
No, stop it. Of course not.
I'm asking.
Just needed to send
a
message.
I'm not telling anybody to do it. I'm just asking.
My wife made fun of me all weekend. I mean, she kept laughing. She's telling her friends, and they're like, "What a loser." And in the meantime, all the dads are like, "You teach those punks."
Did it come up during the anniversary?
No, we joked about it all weekend. We kind of did, yeah. You know, she kept laughing about it, and I said, yeah, I overreacted.
What about during the anniversary session? Did she bring it up?
No, she did not bring it up during.
No, the was there an anniversary session, Carm?
There was an anniversary session.
Good for you.
It was nice. My 11 years.
Good for you, Carm.
11 glorious years. My wife.
Number three on the way. Huh?
No, stop it. You know,
good news.
You know,
Carm?
I got snipped. Please.
Number three on the way?
Number three on the way. Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
Oh, it'd be a good thing, Carm.
Here's the real question. Are you sore from chasing them?
You know, it's funny. I haven't sprinted like that in so long. While I do run a lot, I haven't, like, gone on a full-on, like, 100-yard sprint like that in some time.
You look like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, my legs hurt a little bit the next day, JR. You're right.
You got to stretch out a little bit, you know?
Oh, I was like, totally unprepared for that.
Let the young punks in Western Springs be notified.
Do not
come near the Italian's house.
My wife's like, "Think about the nonsense you and your friends did." And I said, "Well, yes, that's true. I'm just trying to teach them a lesson in the error of my ways."
You realize you're now the legend. You're
no,
now.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You're you now are. The guy that they're talking about. No, you're public enemy number one.
My wife
if they
did.
Were, if they were in school, they'd be talking about it. But you know, they
well, they have cell phones.
Differently now.
My wife did joke. She goes, at the very least, you're going to give those kids a story. They're going to be like 30 years old, still friends, sitting around, and be like, remember the time that dorky old guy chased us and caught one of us?
Not quite dorky though, was he?
And I'm like, yeah, quite athletic. I gave a story. That's kind of funny. So yeah,
I love that, Carm.
That was my embarrassing moment from the weekend.
Even you blow your top every once in a while.
Well, sure, I got that hot blooded Italian temper.
Of course you,
know?
You do.
Kids scared the crap out of my heart. My heart went through my chest.
I've heard that temper a couple times over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a rough. We need a vacation, Merck, I tell you.
Hey, I just took one, guys. I went to Pinehurst. Oh, 72 glorious holes of golf.
We got some calls. Let's get to some calls.
All right. Can we take a break and we'll take some calls, Merck?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
All right. And if you've ever overreacted like that, please let us know. I know I did. I can appreciate the fact that I did a little. It still felt kind of good in the moment, though. 312-332-3776. That's the number. We'll take some of your calls, Bears, and otherwise have some fun with us. We'll do that coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's get out and take some calls. Merck, where are we going first? I think Mark in D.C. was up first,
Well, let me just give you what we got here. We got some Mark in D.C. who wants to talk about me talking to Yurko, Bears QB. We then got a caller, Tony from Lake Forest, who wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
John in Western Suburbs fits to the NFL, no way. And then I've got one, did Carm chase the fat kid?
No, it was not the fat. The fat kid is the one who scared the crap out of me.
Okay, so
I caught a little kid.
Where do you want to start?
Skinny kid.
Do you want to go? You want to go sit? You want to go ding dong ditch, or do you want to do Mahomes, Fitz, or Bears related? Do you want to do Mark in D.C. first?
Yeah, I said a Mark. Right, Mark bumped into Yurko. He calls a lot. He's a Chicago guy, and originally bumped into Yurko at Pinehurst. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yurko, good to see you this weekend.
Yes,
glad
it
to hear
was.
You shot well on number two. Quick Bears thing, and then I got something for you, Carm. So, for the Bears, if you look at Mitch Trubisky, the year he went to the Pro Bowl, he rushed for almost 500 yards, and then it just precipitously dropped off, and so did the Bears' offensive performance. Now, I'm not saying that the offense was good in 2018, but at least they were good enough. This idea that Mitch Trubisky can't be athletic and rush for some first downs, I don't understand it. And then you get put Foles back there. He looks like Bambi, and he can't move. And with a bad offensive line, that's just a bad recipe.
It is a good way to get your quarterback hurt, though, a lot, if you're constantly designing runs and asking him to. I think that's why they pulled away from that a little bit in 2019. I think the Bears' offense, by the midway point of 2018, that first year, had kind of been figured out. They were not in the top two-thirds. They were in the bottom third of the league in offense in 2018. People have to remember that. They were still a bottom third offense,
And it's not a guaranteed mix for success. If you look at, like, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore last year, they were really good. And this year, it's looking like they're going to be in. But, it's better than what we have. But for you, Carm, let me just say, next time someone – like your wife or any of the ladies start yanking your chain about chasing those guys down. I had a kid in my neighborhood who he used to go around doing that stuff when he was a teenager, and he knocked on the wrong guy's door and took a bat to the chest and had to go to the hospital for scaring him. You scare someone like that, and it's the wrong person or they're not composed, you could get seriously hurt. So I think you did the right thing, Carm. Teach those kids a lesson. And especially when it could be dangerous like that, you tell people you did the right thing.
Don't go messing with people's homes. There you go. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Merck, where do you want to go next?
Let's go to a Tony in Lake Forest, then we'll do a ding-dong ditch one.
Let's do that. What's up, Tone?
Hi, guys.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Question I have for you. But the whole Mahomes Trubisky thing. What in the Bears' DNA makes you think that if the Bears had drafted Mahomes, he would have developed into Patrick Mahomes, given the Bears' QB history? Now, if you're a linebacker, You want the Bears to draft you.
Or a running back.
Or, well, sometimes. Not behind this line right now. But, yeah, or a running back. Or a safety.
Yeah.
But a QB? I don't see it.
Tony, thanks, man. It's a good point about linebackers. They get that one right. Roquan's having a great year.
Yeah. Sometimes the quarterback drags you with them. You know what I'm saying? The great quarterback's going to drag you there, whether you like it or not. Even if you try to derail them, the great ones are taking you with them.
Yeah.
Whether you know, Marino, wherever Marino was going to go, he's going to be successful. I never met an individual that was more sure of himself when he was taking a snap from center than Marino. He knew absolutely whatever was being done, he was going to be successful at it.
So Dolphins or no Dolphins, he was going to be good.
He was going to drag whoever he was at, wherever he was at, he was going to drag them with him.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I mean, I get why people would wonder, and we'll never. I don't know the answer. It's impossible to answer. Do I think he still would have been great? I do. I think he's special and then some. Don't you, Yerk? I mean, I think Mahomes is truly one of the great ones. I mean, this is not just because the system's good for him. I'm sorry. He's too good. He's too accurate. He understands defenses now. I mean, how about that? I mean, it makes him even more dangerous. He finally really knows what he's looking at and how to dissect the defense. There's no stopping him. I mean, it's just he's going to – this is going to be a year-in, year-out thing for the next decade. He's just that good, I think.
Well, what happens, too, is when it comes to performance time, he seems to perform very well, too. It's not like they put 63 points up yesterday. You know, for a while there, you know, they were kind of – you know, spinning their wheels in the mud. They didn't score every time they had the ball. But when they needed to score, they found a way to score.
Scored, yeah, right. Yeah. How about Justin Herbert, too, man? I mean, you see what this kid is doing. I know they've lost a lot of games. Every loss they have has been a one-score game. I mean, so he's constantly in these close games. I mean, I think he's thrown for 300 yards now five times already. And I get that those stats are always going to look a little different compared to what they used to look like. All these young guys are going to set the records because it's a different league now, and it's a passing league now. But, like, just, you know, what they're putting on him already at a young age, just letting him throw it all over the field. And I think he looks the real deal, Yerk. I mean, like, it's when you watch a lot of these guys, you can't help. It's not just Mahomes. I mean, he's great. And he's trending to, like, all-time great, you know. But you can look around the league and you watch guys like Herbert and I mean, even Burrow when he was playing. And now he's going to be done until next year, obviously. But even Burrow when he was playing, you'd have moments in games where you'd say, yeah, man, that, like, he gets it. And you see the future. And I don't know how much we ever even really saw that with Mitch, to be honest. Even in 18, he was kind of a running quarterback. They, you know, the Nagy, those first eight games, I think they kind of caught people off guard. There wasn't a lot of tape on him. And once the league figured him out, I mean, has this offense been any good? Since Burton got hurt and the league sort of adjusted to Nagy, has this offense ever been good?
Yeah, and the adjustment was they played zone. That was the adjustment. Force him to read. Don't play man-to-man against him where he's going to look and just throw the ball up and give the receiver a chance to catch the ball. Or you got your little jitterbug coming out of the backfield and making things happen. So the adjustment was play zone, force him to read, force him to hesitate, and then collapse on him.
Merck, we got time for one more. Or you want to take a break?
No, but we can take one more. Trey Burton had a great touchdown reception.
He did have a good catch yesterday. I saw that.
Yeah. Let's do Mike and Berwin next.
Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, buddy?
What was this kid's name that you caught? Teddy Duchamp? You're the junkyard owner from Standby.
Teddy
Duchamp.
You got to
go get a dog. You need a dog named Chopper now.
I love Teddy Duchamp. I love it. Stand by me, baby. Good stuff.
Right
I didn't
on,
stick
brother.
The dog after him. Thank you, Mikey. Yeah, no dog yet. So the dog's coming in like 3 weeks, I think, Eric. Not that dog's going to be chasing down anybody. So,
and what's the dog's name again?
The dog, we ended up settling on Vigo because we felt like it fits, you know, the rest of the names in the house the most. Although Guinness was Yurko's suggestion was right there till the end. I mean, right
there. You got to go with the kids, Carm.
Such a great call by Yurko.
Yeah, I never seen a picture of the dog, though. You know, Carm, maybe my text. Hold on. Let me see if my phone. Yeah, my phone's still working. Nope, never seen.
Well, we don't have the dog yet. The dog comes in like 3 weeks. I think my wife's got
it. Oh, it's being trained? It's being trained?
No, it's not being trained. It's just still with the breeder. The breeder keeps the dog, I guess, for like the first 8 to 8 weeks or so.
They've got to wean it off the
mother.
Yeah, the mother's teat.
Correct. Yeah, thank you, Yurko. As only you could so delicately put it. Thank you, Yurko.
I feel like I'm watching Meet the Parents.
Oh, God. Classic, my man. All right, 312-332-3776. Want to take some more? If you want to chime in, we'll take a few more calls before we get out of here. Greeny's coming up at noon, then Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6. And I got a funny story for you. This could be, you know, I could be stealing something from Waddle's World later today. I have a feeling this is going to be in there, but it's almost too good to pass up. And it involves a former very high-profile rock star. Only rock stars get in this kind of trouble, guys. I'll share that story with you coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I got a feeling this is going to be in Waddle's World later, Yurk. I don't mean to upstage Tommy or take one of his stories, but like this is tailor-made for Waddle's World, but it's too weird. You know Johnny Rotten, right, Yurk, from the Sex Pistols?
Sure I do, absolutely.
Yeah. Johnny Rotten, punk singer, rock star, right? So he discovered that he's got flea bites in a rather, you know, sort of like compromising, very private place. His penis and his inner thighs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, flea bites. And you're like, well, what's he doing, right? Did the dog get fleas? He says he's got the fleas in the house now, and he's got them biting on his private parts because he let squirrels inside his Los Angeles home to live there. Like, he welcomed the squirrels in. He said, I looked down there this morning, and I looked at my wife, and I said, there's a effing flea bite on it. There's another one on the inside of my leg. Rotten, whose real name is Johnny Lydon, said he became enamored with the furry creatures and allowed them to stay in his Venice Beach, Los Angeles home. Soon enough, there was anarchy in the L.A. pad. You think? Who invites squirrels into their home? Like,
nobody.
Only rock stars. It's bizarre, right? I hate squirrels.
Yeah.
Why would you let him in your house?
Well, George Costanza had let one in.
That's right, Merck, he did. It's crazy, right? Who does that?
Nobody should. Nobody's intelligent. So I see sometimes people feeding raccoons on their porch. There's 60 of them.
God.
Not bright, people.
Oh,
not bright.
God. It's not a good idea. You know, you're asking for trouble. And those things have germs, right? I mean, those bringing germs, and God only knows what they're bringing. A squirrel's meant to be outside, not inside. I tell you, only rock stars this kind of stuff happens to. It's bizarre. What are you going to do, Yurk? All right, check of the web poll here at Carmen DeFalco on Twitter. So who should the Bears start in Green Bay on Sunday night? I mean, this thing wasn't close for a second. Like, I thought it might be. Got over 2,000 votes. It's 86% Mitch Trubisky, Yurk. It's not even close.
Great poll, Carm. Great poll. Nice job.
I thought maybe, you know what, honestly, Yurk, I thought it'd be like two-thirds.
That's Nick Foles fatigue, kid.
I guess it is.
Matt Nagy fatigue. Ryan Pace fatigue. It's all fatigue. Watching this offense play is fatiguing. It's tiring. Jeez. It's arduous. It's a painstaking process. It's awful, Carm. And that's what that is. That's a reflection of what we've been watching here for the last 3-4 weeks. It's terrible. Terrible. And yes, anything else but terrible is good. So that's where you're at.
You know, I love a good player A, player B comparison, right? You know I love those, Yurk.
Yes, you do.
Here's player A, here's player B. Sylvie did it over the weekend. Merck, you can't chime in on this because you know I think Merck actually nailed one of the coaches here. Instead of players, he did Coach A and
Coach B,
okay? So I'm going to give you Coach A and Coach B. These are college coaches, Yurko, okay? Active college coaches.
Active college coaches.
Both of them. I'm going to give you their records since 2015. Okay, Coach A has a record of 49-21 and has a bowl record of just 1-4.
Okay.
Coach B, since 2015, has a record of 44-26, so 5 games worse, but a bowl record of 3-1. Which coach would you rather have?
Well,
Sylvie came up with this one.
Yeah.
He's got another good player A, player B comparison on their show later today. I was sworn to secrecy, but it's a good one.
I mean, it's so subjective in the fact that what's the quality of competition, what are the quality of the bowls.
What if I were to tell you that they're both in the same conference? If I tell you the conference, I think it gets too easy, right, Merck?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but they're
in the same conference.
But they play in separate divisions, and one division is much better than the other one.
In fairness, that is true, and that probably just gave it away. They play in the same conference, but one division is – the balance of power is more tilted in the division for Coach A, and he does have the better regular season record. But listen, it's five games. Like, you'd admit, Yerk, there's not a huge disparity there, right? 49-21, 44-26. The coach with fewer regular season wins does have a 3-1 bowl record over that span versus the other coach who can't seem to win a bowl.
So that tightens up the victories anyway then.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of does. Coach A is Jim Harbaugh. Coach B is Coach Fitz.
Right.
It is kind of amazing, isn't it? And like Merck brings up the fair point, there's no doubt Northwestern plays in the worst division.
Right. Absolutely.
But it is kind of amazing, right? Like, with all the pomp and circumstance surrounding Harbaugh's return there and all the expectations, you know, just sort of how, like, pedestrian it's been. And, you know, 10 wins, 9 wins every year, like he's had almost, with the exception of 1 year, and he's obviously not going to get there this year. Any, you know, most schools would take that, but at Michigan, there's no way that's good enough. Now, they sing Fitz's praises in Evanston, and rightfully so, and that's why he should never leave. But that's how close the two coaches are when you look at that record.
Yeah, if Harbaugh could beat Ohio State, it'd be a treat.
It'd be a totally different story, right? Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, how many times does Northwestern play Ohio State when Ohio State's in their prime?
They get drilled by them. Remember the time we were on campus a few years ago?
Yeah.
You remember that? They were like up to, what were they, like 7th in the country or something?
Yeah.
And they got the doors blown off them in that second half. I think it was Carlos Hyde, wasn't it? Does that sound right, Merck?
It was a while ago. But they did compete with them in the Big Ten Championship like 3 years ago,
They hung with them for a little bit. Yeah. That's true. How about Indiana giving Ohio State a game, man? Even when every time it looked like Ohio State was going to pull away, Indiana was right there hanging around. That was fun on Saturday.
They're very, very impressive, and their secondary of Ohio State's terrible, so that's probably the biggest issue.
Was there a call in that game that had people going crazy, too?
It's
like the whole weekend
one.
I'll
tell you what happened. They had a huge miss. Like, Indiana had a big stop. They had a huge miss down the left sideline. Penix threw a ball. I can't remember which receiver it was. It wasn't what's that one kid's name? Freiberg? What's the one kid?
Freiberg, or something? Yeah, it's close.
Freifogel or something? Uh-huh. It wasn't – and I might be butchering his name. Forgive me. They've got one really talented wide receiver. It wasn't Freifogel. I think I'm saying his name right. It was another kid down the left sideline. I mean, it hit him in the hands, Yerk. Like, yeah, granted, he was reaching for it a little, but he should have made the catch. Very next play, Penix throws a pick six. And you kind of felt like, oh, man, it's going to really get away from Indiana. But they were still there. They were still hanging around. You know, they played a good game. Cap and Merck have a bet on Merkin's Badgers this weekend. Right, Merck? You guys bet Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Yes.
Did you bet straight money line? I mean, yeah, your team's laying
bucks.
Four touchdowns.
Yes. He tweeted out on Saturday night when he was going after me. He said, oh, Minnesota's got too much offense. They'll work
what?
You, too. Yeah. So that's
what
why
Minnesota
that's what I
is he watching?
I said straight up, and he was like, done. I'm like, all right, I'll take that bet.
You got away lucky there. Aren't they laying like 27 points?
It's 21.5 last time.
Oh, okay, 21. Okay, I'm sorry. They're laying three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it now, Mark. You're laying 21.5. Boy, you got that. That's easy peasy for you.
You would think.
I think so is right. My God. If you can't win that game, my friend, and you bet $50, Merck very rarely wagers that kind of money. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating today. Great work by our wonderful producers, Randy Merkin and J.R. Strauss. Yurko, good to have you back, partner. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Yep.
Figure out how the hell to fix this Bears offense. Enjoy your Monday night, everybody. We should have a good Monday night football game tonight, so enjoy that, and we can react to it tomorrow. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2. Bleck and Abdallah at 6. We'll see you mañana. Have a good day.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!